Blog Talk Radio.
Ain't nobody stopping my shine.
Man, God has been so kind to my wife and I. Healthy children, beautiful church. Man, I'm just amazed.
In humble adoration, we bow before your throne, opening our hearts, surrendering our wills, calling unto you.
Let me hear your voice and cry out to the Lord. Cry home.
This is Pastor Brenda Spann coming to you from the Now Network broadcast. It's truly, truly an honor to be here today. The psalmist declares in Psalms 149, "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song." Oh, hallelujah, bless his name. You know, that scripture was in my spirit this morning. You know, as I woke up this morning and gave God his glory, gave God his praise, I began to start singing. The Lord gave me a new song. Oh, hallelujah, bless his name. A new song, praise unto the Lord and sing unto him a new song. Oh, bless his name. Someone may have a new song in their spirit right now. Begin to start praising to him, and I woke up. I said, "Lord, I'm thirsty for you." Oh, hallelujah. Somebody out there might be thirsty for the Lord. Sing a new song. Now, you may have had a different song yesterday, but today you have a new song. Oh, bless his name. I am so excited. Today I will be coming from the book of James. Oh, my goodness. We're going to be talking about drawing close to God, drawing close to God. You know, many times that in our walk with God, you know, really God, all he wants is for us to really have a relationship with him. You know, I was talking to someone the other day and I was telling them, you know, it's all good to do the works. The works that we do for God is manifest by the fruit that we have. We desire, we have a zeal to be able to share the word of God. We have a zeal to be able to go and feed the homeless and do ministry. But we should never neglect the relationship part with God. Sometimes we can, I don't know who I'm speaking to today, sometimes we can get so busy and caught up in works that we forget the fellowship, the relationship, the commune that God desires to have with us. Oh, hallelujah. You know, today I desire to know more and more about God. I desire to commune. I desire to sit at his feet and get fed the word of God. Oh, hallelujah. Bless his name. I'm excited again. Our topic today will be coming from James 4, 1 through 10, and we're going to talk about how we can draw closer to God. I know many times we may, you know, be caught up in some dry seasons. You know, in the midst of drawing closer to God, we're gonna get discouraged. We're gonna come up against disappointments. You know, there are gonna be times where we're gonna make mistakes, but you know, we continue to press towards the calling that we have been called to and draw closer to God. The Bible says, if you draw closer to God, he said in return that he will draw closer to you. Oh, hallelujah. Bless his name. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, today. Lord, we honor you and give you praise and we give you glory. Lord, we are here to magnify you. We are here to lift you up today, God, to give you glory, God. Lord, I ask that you speak a word to your people today. Those who are listening today, God, I ask that you bless them, God, that you bless them, Lord, with the fruit of the word today that's going to go forth. Lord, I thank you and I give you praise. I give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to talk about drawing close to God. You know, how many of you out there desire to be so close to God that, you know, you can even, you know what God is doing, how God is thinking? You know, a lot of time we don't understand God, or we don't understand what God is doing, and we don't hear God's voice because a lot of times we don't have a relationship with him. We don't sit down and eat off his word. We don't sit down and just study. We don't, you know, the Bible talks about how we be quiet, that we should be quiet and study his word. We need to be quiet in order to hear from God. Oh, I hope someone is receiving this today. We need to be quiet. Get in a quiet place and hear from God. Get in a quiet place. Just be still. Stop moving around. Stop talking so much. Just be quiet. Quiet and hear from God. Oh, we're going to talk about drawing close to God. In the book of James, we know James was the half-brother of Jesus. You know, James was talking to some Christians that was facing major persecution. major persecution. And James told them, in the midst of you being persecuted, the midst of the trials and the midst of the pain, he said, continue to draw closer to God. And I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but in spite of what you're going through today, you might be going through a lot of different things, your jobs, your children, you know, finances, your health. But in spite of all those things that's going on around you, continue to draw closer to God. Continue to draw closer to Him. Oh, hallelujah. Because we know that He is the answer to your problem. Or I have to say that again. He is the answer to your problem. Yes, He is. And so the book of James, the 4th chapter, 1 through 10, I'm going to read. It says, what is causing the quarrels and fight among you? He's talking to the Christians. Okay, he's talking to the Christians that have been scattered abroad, that have been going through major persecution. He said, don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Okay, and so then he says, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. He said, now you better go out there and take and steal than to ask God for what you want. Okay, he's talking to the Christians, okay? He says, and even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. So he's telling them, you better take and steal from others than asking, praying to God and asking God for what you want. But he said, but then when you pray to God, he said, you're acting with wrong motives. You may ask God for a car. You may ask God for finances. But yet, what are you going to do with that car? Are you going to use that car to go to work, to glorify God? Or are you going to use that car to go do negative things? So you ask God for finances, you know, to pay your bills and everything else. But yet, when you get finances, what do you go do? Your first thing you do is go shop. Your priorities is in the wrong order. And so God said, you ask and you don't receive because you ask for wrong motives. Oh, I don't know who I'm speaking. You ask God. You may be praying to God. You may be asking God for all different type of things and asking God, but what if your motive behind it? If your motive behind it is pure, or is your motive behind it is evil? That's one thing I do often. When I am praying or when I'm doing ministry or when I'm doing anything, I ask myself, Brenda, why are you doing what you're doing? Now, if I said my motive has to always be pure, I'm always going to say, God, I'm doing this because I want God to get the glory. I want God to be praised. I want Him to get all the credit for it. Okay? So then he turned around and he called you adulterers. Don't you realize that friendship with the world make you an enemy of God? Okay? So a lot of times we try to please the world and we neglect pleasing God. And God is the one that we should be looking to please. Okay? And so I'll say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Okay? And so it says, what do you think the scriptures mean when they say that the spirit God has placed within us is filled with envy? Okay? But he gives us even more grace to stand against such evil desires as the scriptures say. God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. God is looking for someone that is humble today. He's looking for the humble one. The Bible says in Luke 14:11, for all those who exalt themselves will be humble, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. God is looking for the humble, okay? He opposes the proud. Okay, so 7 says, so humble yourself before God. He's telling them, you're crawling, you're doing all these different things, okay? You're praying and you're asking for things in the wrong motives. And then he's telling us to tell them that you must humble yourself in a mighty, and you must humble yourself. He said, so humble yourself before God, resist the devil. Resist the devil. How do you resist the devil? You resist the devil by the word of God. And Matthew 4:4 says that man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We have to remember when Jesus was tested, was tempted by Satan. Okay? And so when Jesus was tempted by Satan, the Bible says that after Jesus begins to start quoting the word, the Bible says then the enemy left him. And so when we are tempted or when we are going through things and when the enemy is coming up against us, what we do is we quote the word of God. I remember when I was so fearful, my favorite scripture was that God does not give me the spirit of fear, but power and love and sound mind. And as I would quote the scripture, the fear would leave me, okay? Same way with anxiety, okay? When I would have anxiety and when I would have used to have a panic attack, what I would do is I would quote the word of God and I would say, Lord, I trust you, I trust you. And I begin to start thinking on things that are pure, things that are happy, things that are just, and the anxiety would go away, the panic. See, you have to quote the word of God. The enemy, he trembles. He's scared of the word of God. Okay, so we have to use the word of God as a weapon. Ephesians 6:10 tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And so when the enemy is coming up against us, we cannot fight the enemy with natural tools. Okay, the Bible said that our fight are spiritual warfare. And so we have to fight those warfare with what? Spiritual tools. Okay, and so it says, so humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The word is telling you, if you resist him, if you resist the enemy, he will flee from you. He said, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. You cannot serve two gods. You cannot serve the God of the world, and you cannot serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the great I am. You cannot serve two of them, okay? Okay, so it says that, wash your hands, you sinners, purify your heart, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow. Let there be repentance for what you have done. Okay, it says, let there be sorrow and deep grief. Okay, so that's what a true repentance is. When you are truly sorry for the sin that you have done. Okay, and so it says, let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. And honor, okay? And so we see here that to draw closer to God is telling you five things that you should do in this scripture of James 4:1-10. It's telling you five things how you should grow closer to God. The number one, it says that you must what? Humble yourself before God. You see, a lot of times pride get in the way. And a lot of times people don't want to humble themselves. First thing they say, who does she think she is? Who do he think he is? He's not going to say this. He's not going to treat me this way. No. This is my job. This is my home. No, you humble yourself. Okay? So when you humble yourself, you're not just humble yourself just to be humbling yourself. You humble yourself before God. The Bible says, well, everything that you do, do it unto the glory of God. So when you choose to be quiet in a situation that your flesh may feel that you need to just say something, well, you are humbling yourself before God, okay? It's a humble yourself before God. It means to yield to God's authority, okay? As Christians, We don't live as the world lives. We don't see a lot of things as the world sees things, okay? So the world may see things totally different the way we see things, okay? Like, you know, as shocking up. Well, the world, they say, okay, that's no big deal. But to God, it's a great big deal. We're not supposed to shack up and have sex. We should not have sex without marriage. But the world may say, oh, it's okay to do that. But God is saying, no, it's not okay. It's sin. And so what the world may, the Bible says that when you are a friend with the world, you're enemy with God. You can't do things because everybody else is doing things. We have to do things the way God is doing things, the way he said to do. Okay, so to yield to authority, we must what? Commit our lives to God. We must commit our lives to God. We should not try to be friends with the world and then turn around, okay, it's like being double-minded, like I said last week, being double-minded. Let that man expect nothing from the Lord. We must be committed to God. We must give our life to God, not compromise. We should not compromise our salvation. We should not. We should not compromise, okay? Whatever God has said for us to do, that's what we should do. Okay, and then it said we should follow him. Follow him. You know, in spite of following God, we're gonna encounter a lot of different things that cause us what? Not to follow God. We're gonna cause distraction that may come up against us. It may come our way. You know, hindrance may come our way. You know, and a lot of different things may come our way to try to cause us not to follow God. And that's the trick of the enemy. The trick of the enemy wants us. He does not want us to follow God. He wants us to continue to walk in this flesh. He wants us to continue to be a friend of the world. But God says to follow him. I remember when one of the men, Jesus told him to follow him. And he said, well, I will follow you. But he said, first, let me go and bury my father. And Jesus told him, he said, let the dead bury the dead. He said, follow me. Okay. So when God says follow me, like Abraham, when he came out from his country, God told him to come out from his country, come out from all his family and to follow him. And Abraham, he obeyed God. You know, he left things that were familiar with him. He left his house. He left his home. He left his country. He left his family. But when God told him to come out, he came out. And he followed God. He followed the instruction of God. And that's what we are to do. We as believers, as converts, we are to follow God, not with excuses. But when God says follow him, he means to follow him. Okay? And so the second thing that says to resist the devil. We must resist the devil. Don't allow Satan to entice you. Okay, so as following God, the enemy will come around. Okay, since you have been converted with Christ, now here come the warfare. Here come old boyfriends, old girlfriends calling you, old partying buddies calling you. Okay, you know, all these different things that you used to do. You don't have that desire to do those things anymore, but guess what? Here comes Satan. The things that were sinful, the things that you was not supposed to do, he's going to test you with those things. And so it says for us to what? Resist the devil. And why? And he will flee, just like he fled from Jesus. He will flee from you. Okay? He will flee from you. The third one said to wash your hands. And purify your heart. Wash your hands. Okay? Those sins that you were doing, that you enjoyed to do, stop doing them. I know it may be hard. I know it may be hard to stop stealing, lying, and doing all those types of sinful stuff and fornicating, all different types of things that you may have done, stealing and whatever you have done. But God is telling us that we must wash our hands with sin. and that we must purify our hearts for those sinful desires. And those sinful desires, let those desires be of the desires of God now, okay? The desires of pureness, the desires of holiness, okay? So you know, many times I have to say, Lord, change my desire. Because sometimes those things is just there. You know, when we give fruit to the sin, those sinful thoughts going to come up, okay? They're going to come up. You're going to have to cast those thoughts down. You're going to have to say, Lord, get this out of my heart. Okay, you want your heart to be pure before God. You need to. We want our sinful desires to be replaced with the desires of God. Okay, and so it's telling you. I'm trying to help somebody today. We're talking about drawing closer to God, and so these are the things that James is telling them to do in order to draw closer to God. Humble yourself. Resist the devil. Wash your hands. Okay, and so number four, it says, let there be sorrow and deep grief for your sins. Now, I find that there's a problem when you continue on the sin and you don't have no regret or you're not sorrowful for sinning. There's a problem because you have given birth to that sin. And in your mind and your heart, you think that sin is acceptable. And so he said that when you sin, you should feel bad when you sin, when you say things that hurt someone. You should feel bad when you sin against God. You should feel bad. If you don't feel bad for a sin that you have done or you are doing or you're in right now, there's a problem. They're saying that your conscience has been seared, okay? And so you need to ask the Lord, Lord, help me with this sin. Cleanse me from this sin. And Lord, please don't allow me to do this sin anymore. Because when that sin, sometimes, and I have experienced this, you do it one time, you may feel bad about it. You do it two times, you might feel bad about it. But when you continue on doing it, after a while, you don't feel anything about it. And so then your conscience has been seared. And now you can just say, forget it. Like, you know, I'm just going to, you have set your mind saying, this is what I'm going to do, and no one can tell me anything else about it. But it's sin. And we want, the Bible talks about right now, for us to wash our hands and purify our hearts. Okay? And number five said, let there be sorrow and deep grief for your sins. Number five, it talks about humbling yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. We don't have to lift ourselves up. We really don't. If we wait on God and we trust God, we do not have to lift ourselves up. God is the one that promotes. God is the one that opens doors. God is the one that does all those things. He's the one that brings those spiritual fruit and those spiritual gifts. God is the one that does it. Our job is to what? Humble ourselves. If God has given us the Holy Spirit that lives within us, that resides within us, and the Holy Spirit, oh, hallelujah. When you have the Holy Spirit and when you're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, you must bear fruit. I mean, there's no, when the Holy Spirit is within you, there are fruit that's going to move forward. There is fruit that's going to come forth. All we have to do, you know what, saints? All we really have to do is just obey God. That's all. If we obey God, we will not have a hard time with sin. One of my biggest problems that I had was to say no. Oh, my goodness. I mean, to say no. It was I know someone out there can relate to what I'm talking about, but we have to obey God in order to draw close, in spite of the persecution and the things, people are lying on you and things not going right in your life. In spite of all those things, we are to desire to draw closer to God. We are, you know, sanctification is a process, saints. Okay? Holiness is a process. As long as we are on this earth, our mission should to for us to draw closer to God. And so James tells us five things to do. He tells us what? He tells us to resist the devil. He tells us to humble ourselves. He tells us to follow God. Okay? And so then he's telling us these things because he wants us to know that, yes, you're going to have problems. Yes, you know, there's going to be times. And then, you know, I like that James talks about praying with the wrong motives. Okay? So now I have taught you about James and have spoken to you about what James talks about praying with wrong motives. So now when you do things and you're praying to God, be aware of the things that you are saying, that you are praying to God about. Be aware of those things, okay? And so before God and ask God for anything, we want to make sure our motives lines up with God's will. Okay, because God is not going to go against his will if those motives don't line up with his will. Okay, and our motives should always be to please God. That should be our motive, to give him the glory, to give him the honor. Okay, and so I was excited about this word today because this word really ministered to me. It really ministered to me. And then, someone today might be going through a season where they just, a dry season where they don't want to get up and pray. They don't want to get up and read. They don't want to, you know, don't want to study. Don't want to even look at anything that's concerning the word of God or God or scripture. I tell you right now, God is speaking to you today. He's telling you that he wants you, okay, to draw closer to him. Yeah, you may not feel like it. The flesh is not going to want to feel like it. Many times, I don't feel like it, okay? But you know what? If I know who I belong to, I belong to the Almighty God. And when you belong to someone, it's like our children. We tell our children to do things. They may not want to do it, okay? But they're going to do it anyway. Same way with God. God has told us to do things. And just because you don't want to do it, don't mean that you're not supposed to do it. You are to obey God, okay? And so I pray that this message really bless you today. I pray that it minister to your spirit. I pray that you be obedient to the word today. I pray that in spite of persecution and trials and, you know, all type of problems that you may be enduring, that you may be going through today, I pray that you continue to draw closer to God. Because you know what? There's peace in God. There's peace, okay? And so God, he desires for you to draw closer. And I pray that everyone that are listening today was truly blessed by this word. And I just thank God for the word that he's given me every week. Every week that he's giving me words to be able to share with his people. And I just give him praise. I give him glory. And so I will be back on next week. And I pray that you have a blessed week, okay? Bye.
I don't want to be that lie to make you second guess who I'm representing. No, I'm not perfect. No, I'm not ashamed to confess. I just want